During war, many times, the difference between victory and defeat are the tactics that you use, the tactics of your enemy, and your responses to their tactics. Amen. I think, of course, of the Great War, World War II. The key part of World War II was the air. The air battle. And Hitler knew as he went into Britain that he had to break Britain. And he did it in the, he tried to do it in the Battle of Britain through the air. And of course, Britain, not too many people know this portion of the history, but me being Polish, of course, my dad drilled me in these things. He said to me, he said, son, the greatest squadron for the British during that time was a Polish squadron. And the reason why the British won the Battle of Britain was because they decoded the Enigma machine, which is where Hitler and his Nazis sent out their orders where the planes were to go. So Britain knew where they would go. Tactics. Tactics. Each war has different tactics. The current wars, we're learning the difficulty of house-to-house tactics. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Satan is our adversary. He is the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he, like many of the despotic dictators and generals that he has inspired, is a master tactician. Satan is a master tactician. I want to give you seven of his tactics tonight, and then I'm going to give you, if I could, seven adjustments that we could make to his tactics. The first tactic he used is found in verse number one. Each one of our points will end in shun tonight. Amen. So we see right here, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? What's the punctuation mark there, folks? What is it? It's a question mark. The first thing he does is he question. One of his tactics is to question. And he questions the Word of God. You see, because if you go back just a chapter and look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. What's the punctuation mark there, church? It's a period. So Satan, what he does is he puts a question mark where God puts a period. And what he does by his questioning, he sows doubt. Do you know when he does this the most? When we're going through a trial. Doesn't he? He gets us to start questioning God. You see, he said, did God say you couldn't eat of these trees? Did he say that? Boy, I would never do that to you. I mean, I don't think he's being very good. Do you? Didn't he do that? I'll tell you. God wrote it here for us, but I'll tell you what, we do well to heed it again. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. He is just as crafty now as he was then. And he puts a question mark and he sows doubt. So the first tactic he uses is to question. The second tactic is found in these verses as well. In verse 1, look at it. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Look again at chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. It's very important. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." Correct? "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it." Okay? So God said, you can eat of... How about this? Just imagine this. You can sit in any one of these pews, but you can't sit in this one. Okay? This one, nobody's allowed to sit in. The devil comes along and says, "Brother Lawson, did God say you couldn't sit in all these pews?" His second tactic is the tactic of perversion. You see, he took what God said and he twisted it. That's the definition of perversion. Twisting, to twist. And he took what God said and he made it seem like God was being unfair. And he does that every day. He makes it, and he perverts things. That's what Satan does. You know, you think about, listen, you know, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible still says marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. Listen, that's in the Bible. God is the one who created the institution of marriage and physical intimacy. Say amen. But the devil perverts it, twists it, and scars people for life. See, his second tactic is perversion. He twists God. Do you remember when the devil was tempting Jesus? He did the same thing. See, he came at Jesus first of all and said, "Hey, command these stones be made bread." And Jesus said, "Man shall not live. It is written. It is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So then the devil says, okay. He takes him up into a high pinnacle. He says, "Hey, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee. And they'll bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Psalm chapter 91, verse 11. By the way, every cult is based on a perversion of the Scripture. Based on a perversion. Perverting the Scriptures. So he starts out, his first tactic is question. His second tactic is perversion. His third tactic is fabrication. Look at verse 4. "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." Folks, what God says is what happens. God didn't just say in verse 17 of chapter 2 that you would die. It's the first time in the Bible you find the word surely. God said, it's an absolute certainty. You eat of this tree, you will die. You'll surely die. And what did Satan say? He started with a question. He moved to perversion. Then he goes flat out fabrication. He says, "You're not going to die." He doesn't know what he's talking about. "You're not going to die." You know what, folks? He's a liar. John 8:44, the Pharisees were coming to Jesus, castigating him, throwing their barbs at him, saying, we be not born of fornication like some people. And he said, "We're of Abraham." He said, "Hey, if you were of Abraham, you would rejoice to see my day. You are of your father, the devil. For he was a liar from the beginning and the father of it." He moves to fabrication. Then you know what else? He takes fabrication and look at verses 5 and 6. "For God doth know, in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also her husband with her, and he did eat." The fourth tactic of the adversary, question, perversion, fabrication, is temptation. Temptation. See, young people, listen to your pastor for just a moment here. Satan makes it look so good. He's a master tactician at temptation. He could take an apple and make it look so good, and the whole inside of it could be rotten. And it is. John R. Rice used to say, all the devil's apples have worms. And they do. Temptation. What does James say about it? Every man is tempted and enticed when he's drawn away of his own lust. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Starts with temptation, which starts with fabrication, perversion, question. Then we have number 5, verses 6 and 7. Look at it, please. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. By the way, this is why God did not want them to eat that tree. They did know good and evil now. God wanted us innocent. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. What's number 5? Question, perversion, fabrication, temptation, transgression. And the accompanying guilt that goes with it. You see, when you sin, young people, praise God, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty sin. You come to God, and I don't mean just haphazardly come and say, Lord, forgive me. No, God's not hearing that. Amen. He wants us to be contrite about our sin, wants us to be sorry. But you come and you lay that sin down on the altar. Thank God it's cleansed, it's gone. But you remember it all your days. And Satan loves to remind you of it. Transgression. To transgress means to cross the line. That means God drew a line and we crossed it. There's a process. There's tactics that He uses. Question, perversion, fabrication, temptation, transgression. Look at this. Fascinating. Verses 7 and 8. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked. I shouldn't, but no, I'm not even going to. Amen. I just think of the lack of clothes that people wear now. I just think of that. They need to read this verse. They knew right away they were naked. Keep reading there. It says, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. You know what the sixth tactic he uses is? Isolation. He uses, this is one of his specialties now. He wants to get you, listen, they isolated themselves from the presence of God. They isolated themselves from the presence of God. Why? Sin, which bred fear. And it's still the same today. Listen to me, young people, your parents are not your enemies. Say amen, parents. Grandparents, your parents are, but I'll tell you what, you get off in sin and the last people you want to talk to is your parents. You know why? Because the devil's isolating you. He's isolating you. And he's not isolating you because he's your buddy. He's isolating you because he walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Listen, it's a military principle. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. By the way, that's one of the reasons we preach on Sunday night. The church in one accord. God does not want us divided. Doesn't. Why? Because when we're divided, Satan devours. He uses isolation. Sin bred fear. And fear causes us to flee from God's presence. Listen, they had never been out of fellowship with God since they were created. God came in the garden. They walked and talked with God. Now they were afraid of Him. Lastly, question, perversion, fabrication, temptation, transgression, isolation, diversion. Diversion. You read verses 9 through 13, you'll find diverting blame. Wasn't me. The woman thou gavest me. Wasn't me. Serpent! By the way, the best thing you can do about sin is say, it was me. It was me. I did it. I failed you, God. I messed up. God, please forgive me. But diverting blame, you know what else Satan will do? He'll divert our attention. He diverts our attention. And you know what he does many, many times? He'll use good things. I think a lot about church attendance. And I think of the reasons why people lay out of church. It's not because they're down at the bar drinking. It's because there's Little League. It's because there's cheerleading practice. It's because these are not bad things in themselves, but he diverts us. You know what he does? He diverts us from the main things. Even Christians. Churches. Churches is known as a singing church. By the way, I'm glad that you folks sing out. Amen. I'm glad for that. Some churches are known as a working church, or some churches are known as this. Every church ought to be known as a witnessing church. Because that's the main thing. It's the main thing. Trying to reach people for... But you know what he does? He diverts us. He diverts us. You know what else he does? He diverts us by diverting our priorities. You know, in Hebrews chapter 12, when God gets done with Hebrews 11, we're in that on Sunday nights, you get to chapter 12 and it says there's a great cloud of witnesses. I believe, Brother Hendershot, that great cloud of witnesses certainly encompasses heaven, but it's really the people he was just talking about in chapter 11. The heroes of the faith. That chapter opens with this verse. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You see, folks, there are things that Satan will creep into our lives to divert us, and they're not sinful. They're just weights. And if you're going to run a race well, you got to get rid of the weights. Diversion, isolation, transgression, temptation, fabrication, perversion, question. Let me give you 7 adjustments to counteract this tactics. I'll throw them at you quick. First of all, number 1, read, know, and trust what God says. Read, know, and trust what God says. See, folks, we can't live by feeling. Because my feelings betray me on a daily basis. Somebody say amen. We need to live by faith. I've got a young man that's been calling me. He calls me at odd hours, just with theological questions. Just burdened about things. And I'm trying to, number one, I'm trying to take care of my wife and kids, and then also answer his questions if I can. But every time he says, well, I feel like this, and I feel like this, and I feel like this. Listen, that's a tactic of Satan itself. Just living by feeling. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. You have to read. And listen, the reason why Satan's tactics work so well is because there's a famine of the Word of God. If you don't know your Bible, how are you going to possibly take it out like a sword and fight against the devil? Read, know, and trust what God said. We mentioned it. We'll not stay long here. Number 2, remember, Satan is a liar. He's a liar. Everything he says is a lie. When he says to you, you're not saved, you're this, you're that, you're John 8:44, he's a liar. That's all he can do. Number 3, realize that this is a war. Realize that you are in a war. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, 2 Timothy, let me read it to you. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verses 1 through 4. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. And the Word of God says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." What a great verse. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Remember, this is a war. And folks, do you know where the front line of Satan's battle is? Right here. Your mind. Your mind. If he can get your mind, he gets your body. Remember, this is a war. Number four. Resist him. Resist Satan. Resist him. The book of James tells us how to do it. Chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. It says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." That's the first, amen. It's real hard to resist the devil if you're still playing footsies with him. Amen. Hard to do that. But if you come to God and you say, "God, I need you. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you." Devil doesn't want to be anywhere near God. Amen. Resist Satan. Number five, read and know and trust what God said. Remember, Satan's a liar. Realize this is a war. Resist Satan. Repent of wrong thinking. Repent. Tell God, "I've been thinking incorrectly. I've been thinking that you're not treating me right. I've been thinking that you're not good." Repent. Listen, not a popular word in Christianity today. Still a Bible word. By the way, the Christian has got more to repent of than the lost person does. The lost person needs to repent of unbelief. That's it. Amen. And then God does the rest. But I'll tell you what, I'm on a daily repentance diet. Amen. God convicts me of things and I say, "God, help me to repent. Help me to repent." And by the way, we all should be that way. Amen. God puts our finger on something. Repent. Repent of wrong thinking. Repent. Again, it's just a word that kind of galls us a little bit. But listen to me. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Repent of wrong thinking. Number six. Boy, this is a good one. Renew your walk with God. Renew your... Pastor Donald and I had such good fellowship over these last two. We drove 1,000 miles in 2 days. And so we're in the car with each other and we got a little slap happy a couple times, amen, and just joking around and stuff. But one of the things he asked me, a very serious question, he said, "Preacher, what do you do with somebody who comes to you with a stubborn habit that they just, quote unquote, can't kick?" And I said, by the way, every stubborn, you name me the sin, be it a sin of the heart or a sin of the flesh. Could be bitterness, could be criticality, could be liquor, could be pornography. It all boils down to this. It's a love problem. You love yourself and your sin more than you love the Savior. It's all it is. So simple. I had a man who came to me years ago. He came to me and he said, "Pastor," he was in our church at the time, wasn't a member, but he was coming. He said, "I have a $400 a day cocaine habit." Young man, strong. Fireman, Mr. Stevens. Fireman. He said, "What can I do?" He had a 1-year-old daughter, Brother Boston. I said, "The next time you get ready to sniff a line of cocaine, you put your daughter's picture right next to that line and you say, 'I love this drug more than you, sweetheart.'" One of them's true. No man can serve two masters, either love the one or hate the other. And I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the answer to Pastor Donald's question, he gave his own answer. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know what we need to do? Just renew our walk with God. Just renew our walk with God. Just say, "God, you know what? I need to be in my Bible more. I need to be in prayer more. I need to be loving the saints more. I need to be witnessing more. Listen, help me, God, to renew my walk with you. You say, boy, I haven't read my Bible in the morning, in days, weeks, months. Start tomorrow. Start tomorrow. That's right. Amen. Start tonight. Amen. Start. Just start. Renew your walk with God. You say, there was a point in my life where walking with God was a joy. It just kind of faded. Renew it. Make a decision. Renew your walk with God. Lastly, read and know and trust what God said. Remember, Satan's a liar. Realize this is a war. Resist Satan. Repent of wrong thinking. Renew your walk with God. How about this one? Re-enlist in God's service. Reporting for duty, Lord. I've been AWOL. Absent without leave. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. You see, folks, that doesn't just have to be one time where you get on your knees at an altar and say, God, I'm yours. You can do it again. If you've gotten out of doing what you know is right, you can come at an old-fashioned altar. You can bow next to your bedside and say, God, I am re-enlisting. You know why? Because God needs soldiers. Listen, we're at a war, folks, and we're losing. We're losing. How do you know we're losing, Pastor? The bar is packed tonight, and we're not. We're losing. Hey, what do we need to do? Hey, the several things there. We need to read and know God's Word. We're going to have to counteract His tactics by knowing. The Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians 2:11 that we're not ignorant of His devices. The only person that's ignorant of His devices is the person who does not open up this book. Oh, remember that He's a liar. He's a liar. Gets in your ear and starts whispering. You could say, I said to Pastor Donald this morning, liar, liar, pants on fire, hanging from the telephone wire. He's a liar. It's all he does. Realize that you're in a war. There's an old song Lester Olof used to sing. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. A fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. What he said, I'm fighting. I'm fighting the devil. Resist him is the fourth point. Repent of wrong thinking. Say, God, I have had some stinking thinking. Stinking thinking. By the way, amazing how stinking thinking toward God will be stinking thinking towards other people too. Amazing how that works. Renew your walk with God. God, I'm going to do my best to walk with you. Help me. And re-enlist. Say, God, I'm reporting for duty. Father, we love you. Thank you.